The following is an interview with Mr. Bascom Thompson by Bill Whitehill for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at 148 Bath Avenue, Owensville, Kentucky, on July 17th at 12:45. Mr. Thompson, what I'd like you to do is just basically start out by telling us a little bit about your family and your early childhood days.
Well, as I said to you before, Whitfield, I was born in that other century, the 19th, and I arrived in this 20th century at the tender age of about 8 years, and arrived at high school age about 12 years old, and at that age and time, the village, a small town of Owensville, did not boast a high school until it became a part of the present 20th century. The state of Kentucky was admitted into the Union or Commonwealth of Kentucky in 1892. One of my earliest memories is being allowed to walk to town, or village rather, of Owensville at the tender age of approximately 8, at which age my daddy let me walk a mile with him into the metropolis of Owensville, population approximately 500. My dad was Stephen Arnold Douglas Thompson, born in the second year of the Civil War, the war between the states. His parents had named him Stephen Arnold Douglas after the man of that name who opposed Abraham Lincoln for president. Kentucky, being a border state, took no part in the war, either Union or Confederate, although General John Hunt Morgan fought a losing battle on Kentucky soil near some of the central Kentucky towns, probably in Boyle County, before slipping back into Tennessee. My daddy, S.D. Thompson, born on the outskirts of Bath in Montgomery County at Stepstone, married my mother, Mrs. Lanny B. Thompson, after the war was over and the United States had become whole again. Daddy lived until 1927 when he succumbed to the inherited disease, diabetes. Mother lived to the ripe old age of 86. I never knew my grandparents on Daddy's side. They passed away in the latter part of the 1800s. There were numerous sons of my great-grandfather Thompson, some 8 or 10, and even more in my mother's family. My mother's name was Nanny Byron Thompson, and her mother was Cindy, wife of Jasper Newton Byron. On the Byron side of my family, there were also 6 boys, as in my family, and only 2 girls, my mother being the oldest and her sister being the youngest of that family. One of my brothers and I saw service in the First World War, and my youngest and finest brother was killed in Germany in 1945 in the Second World War. And that's what I have written down.
Okay. What were your brothers and sisters' names? And could you tell us a little bit about each one of them?
Well,
it'd be nice to know who your family was.
That oldest brother was Banks Thompson, and I was the next one, and I was from Bascom Thompson. And then there was Earl Thompson. He was in the First World War. And there's, now that's all the boys in that family. And then in my grandfather's family, there was his wife, Lucindy. His name was Jasper Newton Byron. And on that side of my family, there were also six boys, as in my family, and only two girls, my mother being the oldest and her sister the youngest. One of my brothers and I fell service in the First World War, and my youngest and finest brother was killed in Germany in 1945 in the Second World War. And that's all I've got to say.
Okay. Would you go in and tell us a little bit about the life when you were growing up? What was it like to be a kid back at the turn of the century?
Well, looking back at it, it was wonderful. At that time, I guess I thought we had hardships, and we did. And for instance, at one time, I saw 4 feet of deep snows and had to wade through them. And I had to walk a mile each day up to the school in Owensville. I was living outside, not even didn't even belong to the town. We were outside of the city limits, in other words.
When you were growing up, did you live on a farm then?
Well, my grandfather was a farmer, and my father was to an extent, but he had become crippled from typhoid fever back in the 80s, and he had to walk with a cane all the time, but we walked to that mile of school, and I just recall the first time I walked to town with him for a solid mile, holding on to his arm, and going to it was called an academy thing, and that little school up in Owensville. And he had actually been born at a little railroad town, Stepstone, out in southwest part of the county. And then from there, when we took a trip, for instance, to Lexington, we had to go down on the C&O train to this town of Preston, and board the train there, and ride to Lexington. And then we got ready to come back, we had to board the C&O train back for the return trip. But it was after that that I got deeply interested in school business, and I loved school. I didn't want to quit when I had gone through the whole 12 grade, you know.
Before we get into when you worked for the school board, could we go back and could you tell us, like, how it was when you went to school? You know, today we have huge high schools and huge grade schools, but how was it when you went to school? How was it different as opposed to now?
Well, it was, you might call it primitive. It certainly was not like it was after we got our school, as we say, graded. And it wasn't until then I learned that the subjects I had been taking in the old academy were entitled me to be in the eighth grade. I thought, well, how in the world did I rate that? And then I learned that wasn't much after all, because I didn't get a college, get to go to college, and had no college or whatever.
What was the name of the grade school that you went to?
It was the Bath Seminary.
Bath Seminary.
Uh-huh.
And is that located in Owensville?
Yeah. The old building, it was part of was just torn down 2 years ago up town there. If you notice the parking lot up there in town, a great big, tremendous parking lot for the village, you know. It was the old school that I went to, but it had run down since then, or it was torn down.
How big a school was it when you went?
Well, we had, besides our instructor, who was C.F. Martin, from Carlisle, Kentucky, that's Nicholas County. He came here to teach the new graded school, as we called it at that time. And as I say, I had just learned that I fitted into the eighth grade, to my surprise. And I made up my mind then that the schoolwork was all I ever wanted to do. But later, when it became, after it became grade school, I was taken into the superintendent's office, and from that on, I was the secretary to the Board of Education, and
Before you get into that, could you tell me, like, what was the size of the classes when you went to this Bath Seminary? How many kids were in the same grade as you were?
Well, now, in Bath Seminary, as I told you, there were no grades.
I see.
So we just had subjects, and from that they determined that I belonged in eighth grade, and from then on I did it in eighth grade. But I never got to college, so I didn't get a degree.
Did you go to high school?
I got two high schools.
You got two high schools.
And even taught a year in a country school out at Preston, Kentucky, on the railroad. And at the end of that term, it was just a 6 month term, and the salary was $39 a month for 6 months, which just purchased that motorcycle I was determined to have. And when I got through that school, the first thing I did was spend my money for that motorcycle. And I really didn't enjoy that. I had wanted it before the term began, but I didn't have any money and I couldn't get any money. My daddy had a house for the kids and just barely scraping a living out for us, so we could all eat, you know.
You mentioned a C.F. Martin, and he was the instructor of the school?
Yeah.
What can you tell us about him? What do you remember about this man?
Well, he was a grand old man. We all loved him. After we learned, he was pretty firm. I mean, we called it harsh. We soon learned that was for our good, and we all got to love the old fellow.
Is he the same gentleman that I've heard referred to as Professor Martin?
Yeah.
Now, I've heard...
Professor Cambridge F. Martin. Cambridge, C-A-M-B-R-I-D-G-E.
I've heard people talk that when you went to his school, you had to... really follow the rules. He was us.
He walked the talk. He saw that you did. I had him one day. He just grabbed me right there in the shirt and shake the you can't write that down.
What were some of the ways that he kept discipline? What did he do to keep discipline in the school?
When you had to go to his office, he would give you the sternest lecture you ever heard and make you feel like a mountain mouse. And very seldom did he ever manhandle the boy, you might call it that. It was just a good hard discipline, and he knew how to administer it. But one day, he did get mad at me, and he grabbed me right there and shook me all over the floor.
Did all the students have to walk in and out of the class or the building in a certain fashion?
We had fire drills and things like that, and then when we left, we had to leave in a certain order.
And how was that?
You see, he wasn't the only man there. His wife taught in the grades, and he had another teacher in the grade at one time. I believe his name was Bromley. That's all I know about him. All I can remember about him. And that's about all the teachers I can remember that we had under. That was three teachers for a time. And later it became larger and became part of the high school right around the corner here, you know, where it is now. And that was when Mr. Lyman Ginger came here to be the head of the Bass County. Let's see what we did for it. It was our high school. Some kind of a title that I just don't remember. But it was our high school, and from then on, it was the only building we used until we built a grade school out in that part of the town. Maybe you've seen it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been out that way? You met Mr. Christie out there, did you?
No, I haven't met him.
He is the principal. And still is. He's the principal. And that grade school out there. But the superintendent then had in his hands the operation of the school uptown. That is, after Mr. Ginger left there. But at the time he was there, he had sole control of both schools.
You have mentioned a graded school. What was it? How is it different before you had a graded school?
Well, you could be working in fifth grade history, and at the same time, you might be in third grade some other subject. I was about to say spelling, that's not really the problem. But you never knew. There was no order to it, whatever. It was just about the very first people that ever worked in that grade of school, and I can remember some of them. There was Lee Brother that taught in the old time school. And Mrs. Fanny Lane. Did I give you one name of Brahma?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the Mrs. Charles, who was the only last one I can remember. That's all I can remember from that old grade school. Not grade school. One grade school. So that's as far as I can go as far. Until, as I say, I moved out to the superintendent's office and went to work there. I think I had already told you that.
How old were you when you went to work for the superintendent's office?
Well, it was it was a number of years after, let me see, I must have been about, It was the year I talked at the school at Preston. And I'll tell you what happened, and I meet after that. I went to work in the superintendent's office, but I didn't go far enough back. Ruben W. Kincaid was the first county superintendent I ever worked for.
What do you remember about Mr. Kincaid?
Well, he was a grand man. Everybody loved him. He was highly intelligent. And he had a bad cough and friendly. He would go home when he was drinking, and he might stay a week at home, and he would spend that entire week in bed before he would get back to the office. And then that leads up to Mr. Horton, Whitten Horton, W-I-T-T-E-N. And he was my next superintendent. And following him was, let's see, his name was Rocky, I don't remember his first name. Well, we called him Timmy, I think, but I don't know. Walter W. Rocky, R-O-C-H-I. And following him was a Colonel Hammond. His actual name was Colonel. He wasn't a military man. And he came to us from Flemingsburg, Kentucky, where he had taught 1 year, about 15 months, and then decided he would put in the outfit over here with us, and he did, and he was hired. And I could deal with that Rushy in the wrong order, because Rushy followed him. And then Horton and the others. But I went through that many superintendents. I went through 8 different superintendents in my job. And as you know, I worked 51 years at the entire job from the academy through the superintendent's job. And I retired in 56. And my wife retired at the same time from the high school. She was a teacher in the high school. Her name, of course, was Olive F. Thompson, my wife.
You mentioned 4 of the superintendents that you worked for. Do you remember the other gentlemen's names that you also worked with?
I think I gave you one of them. I thought I had.
You mentioned Mr. Kincaid.
Kincaid, Horton, I'm leaving out one named Hammonds. Mr. Hammonds was from Central Kentucky. All I can remember about him, his name was Colonel Hammond. And I think I already did.
Yeah.
He was the next one. And it was after that then that Rocky came along. And Rocky served two terms. And then, Sexton came here to apply. He had been teaching out in the state of Wyoming, and he came back here and put in his application for principal of the high school. Well, instead of making him principal of the high school, the board hired him as superintendent, and he served a 4-year term. And then went back down to some school outside of Cincinnati there, I can't think of the name of it, where he still lives, I think, but I can't think of the name of that school. But the name was Bradley Sexton. He had taught out in the state of Wyoming, I told you that too. So that's as far as I can go on that. He wasn't the last one. Now that's where Mr. Benmore Hogg comes in. He followed badly. And he held on through two full terms, that's 8 years. And he asked the board for another full term. And they turned him down and hired Lyman Jr. We got his name there. That's when they hired Lyman. And he was followed by a man named Jones. And I'm not going to be able to give you his first name, saving life. He didn't stay through more than one term. He didn't like here, and people didn't like him. He was let out. And that was when Mr. Hogg came in and went through two terms. And after him, then, was Mr. Ginger. And this man, I can't recall what his name was either.
Okay. This is side two of the interview with Mr. Thompson. What exactly was your job with the Board of Education?
Well, I was secretary to the board.
And what all did that include?
I was the only employee the central office had. I was secretary for practically all of my 51 years. full 51-year term was served as secretary of the board until the time I gave it up my own.
What were
volition.
What were some of your duties and jobs as a secretary?
I was the complete financial department. I kept all the books. How to state that, I don't know what I did, but I did everything. Everything that had to be done in the office, Mr. Hogg actually just did nothing. He turned it over to me. I'd go in the morning, and my desk would be covered with work even when he'd get out that day. Especially following these board meetings. And I told you, I think, that I had to sit in on all these board meetings and take down the minutes and write all the minutes in the record books. And he went around visiting the school, that was all.
Were you involved with any time with the employment of people? Part of your job also?
No.
You said that you had a lot to do with the financial aspects.
Yeah.
Has the cost of education, could you see a tremendous increase from the time when you started until the time when you resigned?
You mean in the salary?
Well, in just the salaries and the cost of running the whole school system.
Well, the salaries increased a little with every step up in that whole eight superintendents I went through. Salaries increased each time. I think that's a pattern that's followed all over the state. And until, you know, the teachers are getting, some of them I think are getting as good a salary as baseball players are, but not quite. They couldn't compete with Pete Rose and those fellas.
Can you remember anything that stood out in your mind, such as hotly contested issues about maybe consolidation or the prices of the salaries or something like that really caused a stir here in this community?
Oh, yeah, not so bad, yeah. That Sexton I told you was the one that preceded Mr. Hall. He had a battle of his life. The Salt Lake School had come into the county system at that time, and they didn't want to come in. They had their own gymnasium out there, you know, and had buildings, and they wanted their gymnasium to stay there, and they, so they could go to the games. And later, of course, when the school board licked them and brought the school on over here, and we later also brought in Sharpsburg School, which there wasn't any friction there. In bringing in Sharpsburg School, they wanted to come. And so there was no trouble there, but let's see, that was another principal that came on over here and acted as principal for a time. I have to think of his name, though. But I've given you all the superintendents.
Mm-hmm.
You've got them.
Was that the only case where it really stands out in your mind about a lot of friction? Is that Salt Lick?
Well, it's you can hardly imagine what happened in that term of sections. You see, I told you in the beginning he hadn't wanted to be superintendent, but they made him superintendent. And the first thing he did when his time was out, his 4 years was out, he threw up that job quick and got away from here. That is when he went to Cincinnati, as I told you. And He'd never been back except to visit. We've had visits from him. He'd just come in and pass the time of day. I haven't seen him in the last 10 years, so I don't know whether he'll ever be back here or not. I'm practically sure he's still on that job in near Cincinnati. I can't think of the name of the place. He lives near Cincinnati, but not. I don't think he's in the city limits of Cincinnati.
Getting away from your job, or after you've retired, what have been some of your memories about how Owensville has changed, how it's grown, things like this?
Well, we considered a huge growth compared to what it had been in those grade school, high school, whatever you call it.
What would you say has been the biggest change here in Owensville?
Well, first of all, we bought a 200-acre area out here for that grade school. And that grade school has its own playing field out there. That was done while Mr. Hogg was still principal. They built that athletic field out there, and it's been one of the things that brought more people to town. You see all those games, they had football, basketball, and baseball. They had all types of athletics. And down in the double grades, what is it called? The kids playing ball, not Pony League, but the earliest one, before Pony League. Just a little 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds before Bonnie, which is 15 or 16 years, I think. I can help me on that one. The only title it had, they call them little leaguers until they were ready for the Pony League. And then from there on, the next step up was high school.
So that would be one of the big improvements here in Owensville, would be the development.
Yeah, people just loved it. They came out there to watch those children play by the numbers. Everybody went that had children. There was a time to see them. It brought on some friction too. When their kid didn't get a home run every time they got it late, they raised hell with the umpire. So that's about as all the information I can give that I can think of, except I think you will want to see this. Well, Miss Mamie Johnson again, and her sister-in-law, and Miss that's one more thing I like to ask you, who that was they called you.
I think you've already interviewed her, Miss Donaldson.
I'm going to, yes.
Oh, you haven't been up there?
No, yet.
Okay, that's who it was, Miss Parks Donaldson.
And then she can give you the information about Mrs. Mamie Donaldson. They're in the same family, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.